Thank you. So hi, I'm Miro Hrančok. I work for Red Hat as an intern, and I also study and teach at Czech Technical University in Prague. Software collections. How many of you have an idea what it is? And how many people know what it is? Like, could give the talk. Okay, the very same number. So I'll try to focus for the people who doesn't know. So sorry, you three guys, but majority doesn't have a clue. Okay, the problem that software collections are trying to solve is running multiple versions of software. It means interprets, libraries, databases, whatever, any software. You need to run multiple versions on the same system, which is something you usually don't need to, but sometimes you have to. We'll see some examples when this is a good thing for you or when do you need it. So there is an application, let's call it Foo, and it wants a very old version of Flipcool, which is your very cool library you want to use, but you want to use version 1 from 1992 because UpFoo is very old, but you need it because it's just super cool application and you don't want to port it to the new version of library because it's spaghetti code and you just want to use the old version. But you also have another application, let's call it Bar, and that needs a development bleeding edge version of Flipcool. Sometimes it's happened, even if, you know, usually you shouldn't develop applications that should require development versions of libraries, but somebody does it and you want to use Bar as well because, well, it's a bar, so you like it and you want to have it. And your system, your Linux system, wants stable version of Flipcool because some core OS components depend on it as well, and you don't want to use the version from 1992 for that because that would be like not a very good idea on a stable, for example, enterprise system to run something that old that nobody supports it, and you don't want to run the development version as well because it's untested and it can contain bugs. And you want to run it on one system, that's the thing. You can have three computers or three systems running different thing, but let's say you don't have money for that, so you just have one machine and you want to run it all. If you have enterprise operating systems such as Red Hat Enterprise Linux or CentOS or let's say Debian Stable as an enterprise, so now it's not about money, it's about usually the software is pretty old and but it's supported and you don't want to change it. So versions are too old for cool new stuff. You want to do modern things, but your software versions are very old and you cannot. This is the price for stability, because if you have the new versions, nobody would have time to test it and support it properly. If you have a non-enterprise OS in the term of this timing, such as Fedora, Ubuntu, whatever, you got almost current versions of software, usually, but you have some critical applications that know they run only on old versions because nobody anymore develops them, but you need them. That happens sometimes. I found a good application and required Ruby 1.2 or something like that. I don't know even that existed. The solution without software collections is there are more things you can do. First is virtualization. You just have more systems in your one system and run different versions there. That eats a lot of resources, that's the first thing. And you cannot easily pipe outputs of one application to another and stuff like that. Sometimes you also need to do this. And it's kind of overkill. If you only need two versions of Perl, you don't need to virtualize just for that. So there is another thing, you can use containers, which is better than virtualization in terms of resources, but otherwise it's overkill as well. So what are you gonna do if you need a new version of Python or something like that? You compile the soft for you and store it somewhere on your system and use it. But have fun maintaining it, especially if it's, you know, you will have to update it manually. If you have 100 machines, you will have to develop a mechanism how to deploy it all, and it will be pain in the ass. It's not overkill, but it's very difficult, and nobody likes it. unless it's just one software and you think, okay, I can handle it, but imagine it's 10 or dozens. So how to benefit from packaging systems such as RPM, so you don't have to compile it for yourself and stuff like that, and use the different versions of software at the same time. RPM is not designed for that. If you have a libfoo package, it has just one instance on your system in default stuff. There are some package managers that support different versions at the same time. RPM is not one of them. So you have to solve it somehow. And it's obvious software collections will do that. The thing is, if you just package your different version of Perl in somewhere and package it as RPM and distribute it to your company computers or whatever, it will work as well. The thing is that software collections do it properly. What does that mean, do it properly? It means that everything will work. Log rotating, stuff like that you will forget if you do it for yourself. But it will work in software collections and everything will work the same way. So you know what to expect and you don't have to remember everything. So software collections are stacks of software and it's prepared in /opt. I don't like the directory very much, but it's meant for optional software, which this is. And you only use them when needed. That means on your system you have Python 2.6. This is what's in RHEL 6 and CentOS 6. But you can have a collection of Python 2.7 or 3.4 development branch, something like that. And you don't, your system tools using Python will use the default one that's supported. And you only use the new one if you require it, if you ask for it. Software collections are easy to create. If you, how many of you have ever created a software package for RPM or something like that? Okay, that's a lot, a half probably. So if you know how to create RPM package and you want to create software collections RPM package, is just few things to learn. I would say 5 minutes. Somebody can explain to you in the pub and you will know for the rest of your life. It's easy and it's easy to use. The point here is it's easy. What is software collection really? What is it? It's an upstream project, and this is what I'm talking about. It's developed in Red Hat, but it's an open source project anyone can contribute to and use. And also, it's a Red Hat product. But somebody asked me a question about the Red Hat product in a pub or something like that. And I said, I don't know. Don't ask me about the product. I don't know what Red Hat offers. That's not my part of expertise. I have no idea. So this is about the upstream project. So then in the opt directory, you have a vendor. In this case, it could be RH, like Red Hat or Fedora or any vendor, you, your company. And there is a root file system hierarchy, like so you have /user/bin, and then you have Python. And some enable scripts that are in prescribed format. What can be inside? And there could be some new versions of or old versions of interprets like Perl, Python, Ruby, frameworks like Rails, Django, databases. Sometimes they, usually on enterprise you have very old Postgres and you want a new one for some reason, so you can have it in collection. It's called a collection, but it can contain only one application. For example, there is some tool you use daily, and you want to test the development version of that as RPM package, but you want to have them at once at one time, so when the development branch is broken, you can actually do your stuff. So you can create a collection with one application. Or it can contain entire scope. For example, it can contain Ruby on Rails, and some Ruby gems that you will need to develop Ruby on Rails recent version or on Enterprise OS. Where do you get software collections? So if you use CentOS, there are some demo collections in the link section later, and you can go to softwarecollections.org, and then you can browse some collections and add them as a repo for YAML. And you get it, it's in there, and you just yum install the collection. For example, Python 27 as Python 2.7. or you can create your own collection. It's pretty easy. If you are using Enterprise Linux from Red Hat, probably you can buy some collections. I have no idea how that works, so again, don't ask me about it. And you can create your own, but corporate collections because you are a corporation. If you are using Fedora, currently software collections are not in there until you add some repos from Copper, which is something like PPA, personal packages. And Fedora Next, how many of you have heard of Fedora Next? Not much. Okay, Fedora Next, big hype. Fedora will be different in future, probably. Nobody knows, everybody just talks about it. But there is some proposal to have software collections in Fedora in official repos. Some people are against it, some are in favor. Probably it will be optional, like opt-in. So I'm done talking. I will show you how it works because that's more like enjoyable than listening my crap. Can you read this? Yes. Okay, this is my CentOS in VirtualBox. And let's say I don't have internet connection inside, so I installed some collections I can use. Now I have Perl 5.16, PHP 5.4, 5.5, Python 2.7, Python 3.3, and Ruby 1.9.3 or something like that. If I run Python, you can see this is the default Python 2.6.6. That's the version that's in CentOS and Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So if there is some core component running on Python, such as yum, which is very important, it pulls packages, you don't want that to be broken, it runs on that tested version. But if you want to run, let's say, Python 2.7 for some reason, you can SCL, it's like software collections, so you don't type yourself to death because that would be too long. Enable Python 2.7 and then a command. So let's say Python. And you can see I have Python 2.7.5 and I can execute stuff with that. I can even have this in HashBank in my scripts. If I want to do a different stuff and I don't want to run just one command, I can run bash. And now I'm in regular bash session, but if I type Python, it's 2.7.5. I can use multiple collections inside of collections. That's kind of weird, but let's say I have a very complicated stuff that's written in both Python and Perl. I know that type of software. I think OpenSUSE build service is written in 5 languages or something like that. So you just SCL enable Python 2.27, bash, SCL enable Perl 5.16, bash, and now you have enabled all or both. So if you type, I don't know how Perl works, does it tell me anything?
-v.
-v, capital?
Yep.
Yeah. Is there anything?
No, use a small v.
Okay, this was verbose probably, right? Yeah, Perl 5 version 16, and Python is again 2.7.5. Thank you for your help. And I can even now enable Python 3.3, which will be, oh, what I did? Yeah, sorry, bash. And now I have Python 2.7. On the top of that, I have Perl 5.16. And on the top of that, I have Python 3.3, which basically means when I run Python, I have it's 3.3.2. And maybe I have something like Python 2, which should be 2.7. And if I just exit, and exit, and maybe once more, now I'm out. So now I have no collection enabled. This is how it works. If I would be connected on the internet inside of this virtual environment, I could show you how I pull the collection in, but basically what I have is what is there? yeah, software collection, Python 2.7. There's some repo, it's a demo from a colleague of mine, and there are some packages in that repo, and I'll just have package, for example, Python 27, which is the package containing metadata about the collection, but nothing more, and it depends on some core components with the collection, and within the collection, Python itself is inside a prefixed package. So you can get a lot of packages, you can choose from them, whatever you need, all of them or just a few. I have how much time? Like 5 to 15 minutes? So I can show you how it looks like from inside. The important question is, do you know how RPM works? And should I show you the spec file, or you will be just confused and scared and run away? Okay, some of you said you know how that works. So let's just go to softwarecollections.org, which is the site where you can get some info, and you can browse collections and get them. I don't know if this is something that's intended to be supported, or if it's something that is intended to be a demo, but you can, there's MariaDB 5.5, MySQL 5.5, which should be the pretty same thing. And here are docs. There are some concepts and stuff like that I told you about, and here is building collections. So let's just make it bigger. Can you read it if I show you the spec? Still too big. Or too small. Okay, here is the spec. This is not important. Okay, so first you define the name of the collection. This is meta package. This is the package that will be called Ruby 1.3, and it contains no applications. And you create a very simple thing here, like a normal RPM. The only thing you have to use is use SCL prefix before you require anything from your collection, and everything else is normal. You have build, sub-package, and you create your script. This is actually pretty ugly, but it only creates the script that will enable the collection. You have runtime, which is something you will use if you run it, and then you have build. Now you have this package, and in all your software you want to use inside of that collection, you just add some conditional macros, and then when there is this build package installed in the environment where you're building, all the packages will be built as a software collection sub-packages. So you can have, I don't know, let's say it's Python, so you have prepared your source RPMs for Python and some Python libraries and modules, and you just toss it with an environment with meta package of Python 2.6, 2.7, and 3.3, and everything should build just for that entire collection. Let's see if I have somewhere. Sorry, I didn't prepare these spec files, so I will not try to locate it. But the thing is, you have SCL prefix, which is basically the only thing you will add to the spec file. Before the name of the package, before the requires, and somewhere else, and that's it. And you use it as a conditional macro with question mark, so when there is a software collection to build it for, it will be a software collection package. If it is not, it will be a regular package. So you can have this inside of your Git tree of spec files and just use it both for software collections and non-software collections. That's it under the hood. Sorry for being too complicated. My slides will be probably shared somewhere on a Linux Tag website. And there are two links. Softwarecollections.org is the page I showed you. And then there is SCL on Fedora hosted, which is upstream project if you want to look through the sources and contribute or whatever. Thank you.